continued in Leviticus. And so, you know, Leviticus is a great book. It's just one of the books that we just don't want to study, right? And I got to the unclean and clean animals, and I'm like, but I tell you what, after a long journey, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. This book is a blessing. This book highlights Christ, highlights Hebrews, highlights the New Testament. And so we're going to get going. So we see in Leviticus 1 through 4 or 5, right, the sacrifices and the burnt offering, the peace offering, the grain offering, the sin offering. And so remember, Israel's worship was based on sacrifice. It was built on sacrifice. They couldn't get to the tabernacle without the sacrifice. And our worship is based and built on sacrifice, Jesus Christ, right? Because he went, and we're in Christ. We get to worship God. And so we got to remember that. It's music is good, but our worship is built on sacrifice, right? And then it goes to the priest. Pastor Joe talked about the priest last week, right? Jesus was the great high priest. Those chapters about the priest was about the great high priest, how Jesus went through the heavens. And because he went through the heavens and he went to that altar for us, right, we can now come before the throne, right, of grace to find help in time of need. Because of Christ, he's our great high priest. And you see all of this in Hebrews. It's interesting that my wife and I are reading through Hebrews right now, and we're going through this. And so it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to see the correlation and to see the same verses. And whoever the writer of Hebrews was, like, he knew what he was talking about. And so, but so in that, so what is this? The dietary law, right? The dietary law. What's clean? What you can't eat? And, you know, and I'll be honest with you. I listened to about four pastors. I read about four commentaries, and everybody has a different perspective. And so when you say, hey, Reuben, that's not what I heard, I believe you. I believe you. And so I was like, wow, this is, you know. And the reason why is because it doesn't explain why they're unclean and why they're clean and why the things are holy. It doesn't really tell us why. He just says, stay away from these things. And so what do we know about these, right? That Genesis chapter 1, everything. The Lord said, have dominion over everything, right? And then we get to the flood. All of a sudden, Noah, he knows whether to bring clean and unclean animals, but it doesn't state where. And then you get to Genesis 9, and it's like, have at it. Eat what you want, right? And then we get to the Levitical law, right? We get to Leviticus, the Lord giving the law to Moses. And now all of a sudden, these animals are forbidden. And it's like, whoa, what is this? What is this? Now they're forbidden. You know, they were fine before. Now they're forbidden. And then you get to the New Testament, and now they're okay. Right? Right? Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And there are many more verses. I'm just giving you a couple. Hebrews 8, 13. And that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete, and now what is becoming and growing old is ready to vanish away. And so, good, not good, now they're okay. Right? Why? It was for a specific time. Specific time. God said, hey, this is for you. Why? He was giving them, almost like parables. He was giving them a physical example to teach them about their spiritual life. And we're going to see that today. I was super blessed. As much as I didn't want to go through this, I was super blessed to work through this. And so, you know, people always say, well, it's for health reasons. It's for health reasons. Okay, well, you know, there's a lot of people that eat pork and live over 100 years, right? And so was it just for health reasons? And if it was just for health reasons, in the New Testament, does God not care anymore about our health? Right? Does he not care no more? Like, what does he say? Right? What does he say? Timothy. Right? Paul writing to Timothy, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Paul is telling Timothy, go for it. Right? But the time when God was given the law to Moses, like, hey, these things are forbidden. What does Jesus say in Matthew 15, 11? Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And so we're going to work through this, okay? And it's good stuff, and I love your feedback. But when we're going to read in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. So here's the deal. The animals don't make you clean or unclean. You know why they're clean and unclean? Because God said so. Right? And so it's not about the animals. He's just saying, hey, stay away from this. But he had a reason why he was saying that. Right? When we read in Colossians 2:16, right, what is all this pointing to? Colossians 2:16 and 17 says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Right? So Paul is telling the church in Colossia, hey, if you're not eating what you're eating, don't let people judge you. If you're not following the Sabbath, it's okay. Right? These festivals, don't let nobody judge you. Right? He says, those things were a shadow of the things to come. And what was the thing to come? Christ. So when you look at the food, when you look at the tabernacle, when you look at the Sabbath and all the festivals, right, there were shadows. So when you have a building, right, and it casts a shadow, you see the shadow on the ground, like, okay, that shadow looks like the building, but that's not the substance. The substance is the building. And that's exactly what's going on here. The food that he's talking about here is the shadow and the substance is of Christ. How do we walk in Christ? Right? And so we had the sacrifice, we had the priest, and now the walk. Right? Contrary to what many people say, right, I'm a Christian and I live by grace so I can live how I want to live. That is just not biblical. Just not biblical. God has given us specific instructions to walk in his ways, right? And we don't just get to choose. We don't just get to choose. And Leviticus 10 and Ezekiel 44 talks about the priests, how they had to teach the people. They were the ones who taught the people what they think that, hey, you're unclean. You're clean. You're not clean, right? The high priest was supposed to hear from the Lord, got that thing, the lights and the perfections, the Uman and Thurman, I forgot what that's called. And, you know, they were supposed to be hearing from the Lord and teaching the people, right? Christ teaches us. We are priests. We teach each other. And so, verse 3 says, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs and chewing the cud, that you may eat. So now he says, this is what you may eat. An animal that chews the cud and has a divided hoof. Not a hoof that's partially split. Not a hoof that might look... A hoof that is completely divided. Right? A hoof that's completely divided and chews the cud. What is chew the cud? Do you guys remember in Psalm chapter 1 when it said, blessed is the man who meditates on the word day and night. The man who takes in the word, regurgitates it, takes in the word again, regurgitates it, meditates on it, just doesn't get it, and then forgets about what he heard, right? That's what chewing the cud means. And so, you know, many of you come here, and it's like, you just hear it, but you don't chew on it. You don't take it home with you. It's like, you know, Ruben was born tonight, so don't need to go rehash that stuff, right? And so, but blessed is the man who meditates on the word day and night. He is like a tree planted by the waters, right? Whose leaves never fail, whose fruits come in season, and whatever he does shall prosper. Can I ask you something here? And I don't want nobody to raise their hands. Do you meditate on the word? Right? Do you digest and think about it again? Digest it and think about it again? I ask you another question. Are you in a dry place? You got to put the two together. You got to put the two together. many of us are putting this down for our phones, for our computers, and we wonder why we're so dry. Psalm 1 says, man, you meditate on the word, you will be like a tree planted by the waters, whose leaves never fail, and fruit will come in due season, and all that you do will prosper. I want to encourage you, chew the cud, so that you will get the maximum nutrient from the Word of God. There's a lot of malnutrition Christians because we opt for other things, right? And then we wonder why we're in a dry place, right? And so he says, hey, that animal is acceptable. And if you want to know the list of that animal, that's in Deuteronomy somewhere. Verse 4. We're going to be verse 4, 5, and 6. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those have cloven hooves, the camel, because it chews the cud but does not cloven hooves. It is unclean to you. The rocks, hyrax, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves. It is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. Right? So here are these animals. They chew the cud, but their hooves aren't split. What is that? Right? It's people who take in the Word of God and take in the Word of God and take in the Word of God, but never divide it rightly. Right? You just take it in. You just take it in. And you just take it in. When you look at Hebrews, it talks about the baby Christian and the mature Christian. Right? He says the baby Christian is unskilled in the word of righteousness, so you need milk. In other words, when you get the word, you don't know what to do with it. It's like, that was cool, I guess. That was a great story. Right? You're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Like, you don't allow it to separate you, right, from the Spirit of God, so you can walk in the Spirit of God. Then it says, but those who are on meat, right, that is those who are full age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says the ones who are maturing are the ones who allow the Word of God to minister to their hearts. And they're saying, this is my flesh, this is my feelings, but I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. You can discern good from evil. Right? And that's why James says, right, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man brings about the For the wrath of man does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Saying the same thing. Like, once you allow your emotion to take over the Word of God, most men just get upset. Yes, there's some women that get upset. That's what we go to. We just get upset. And now we're not walking in the ways of the Lord. And so, this is the one who chews the cud, right, but does not have a cloven hoof. You're just taking it in. You're just taking it in, right? And what happens is, when you just take the word in and you don't allow it to minister to you, you'll be led by your feelings. You'll be led by your emotions, and you will think, this is great. I can live how I want to live and still be a child of God. Verse 7, and the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. So now it's the opposite. So the swine, the pig, his hoof is split, but he doesn't chew the cud. You know who this is? This is the one who's so theologically correct, but doesn't allow the word to minister to himself. Right, when I read this, the first person I thought of was Ravi Zacharias. Right? Man, his name was being thrown out everywhere, and I would listen to 5 minutes of that guy. And I'm like, how does anybody understand him? He was so intelligent. And I felt like, man, am I the only dumb one here? Like, he was intelligent. The things he said and the way he talked about the word. But that guy was a predator. He was a predator. That's the one who knows how to divide the word, but doesn't chew the cud. right? We meet every Friday with the pastors, and we're going through a book called Dangerous Calling. And this last week, literally, it's, I don't think it's a coincidence. It's talking about pastors coming out of seminary, how they have all this knowledge. And the guy writing the book, he now helps pastors. And so he's writing about the time when he was in school teaching these seminary students. And he's like, just because they have all the knowledge, they think they're going to go save the world. And they have no clue, because it has to minister to us first. Remember, if you're studying the Word of God and it doesn't cause you to fall in love with God and love people, you're studying it wrong. You're studying it wrong. And so that's what this is right here. This is the one who knows it all, but is unchanged by the Word of God. See, it's not about the pig. Right? There's so many people that you can't have pork. Like, man, and I don't mean to be offensive. Eat pork. Right? If you're trying to stay healthy, then don't eat it. But it's not about the pig. God was teaching them a spiritual life lesson with the pig. Verse 8, and their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. Right? So the one who doesn't chew the cud, and the one that doesn't have a split hoof, he says, hey, stay away from that. Stay away from that. Right? You guys remember in 1 Corinthians 15? Right? The Sadducees were talking about there's no resurrection. And Paul makes this statement. He says, bad company corrupts good manners. You see, we often take that passage and we think, oh, don't hang out with the floozy girl or the drug addict, right? Don't hang out with he drinks too much. Paul is saying when you hang out with people who don't know the Word of God, you will be affected. And that's why it was forbidden. When you hang out with someone who just comes to church all the time and doesn't allow the Word to change them, like you become like that. Right? You hang out with somebody who knows the Word and that Word doesn't change them, you will become like that. And those people are dangerous. Those are weapons. Right? Because they have all this knowledge and they don't know how to use it in the grace of the Lord, in the love of the Lord, the way God has called us to use the Word. And so remember, be careful. Guard yourself. Verse 9. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever is in the water has fins and scales, whether in the sea or in the rivers, that you may eat. Right? So what are fins? What are fins? Right? A fin allow a fish to go. Fins allow a fish to turn right, to turn left, to stop, stay upright, go faster, go slower. Right? You get the picture? Right? And what are the scales? Protection. Right? When you're making your way through the Word, don't get ahead of the Lord. Right? Follow the Lord. You guys remember Joshua? Right? When they were going to go into the Promised Land? And he said, hey, when the ark comes before you and the priests are carrying it, I forgot the distance. He said, stay this amount of distance away from the ark. And what did he say? He said, because you've never gone this way before. How many of you have ever walked where God has already called you to walk? Right? We don't know where the Lord is taking us. So those fins represent you stay behind the Lord and you stay focused. Right? And you follow him at his word. Right? And the protection, the scales. Right? Acts 20. Paul's up in Miletus and he's calling up the elders from Ephesus. He's like, hey, come here. And he gives a little speech and he says, hey, there's going to be people inside your church and outside your church. They're going to come in and try to tear this place up. That's why you protect yourself. You armor yourself with the Word of God. The helmet, the breastplate, right? Gird up your loins with the belt of truth, your feet, your sword, your shield. Verse 10 to 12, but all in the sea or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or anything which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcass as an abomination. Whatever's in the water, whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. You know what's an abomination to the Lord? When we call ourselves believers and we lead ourselves. And we try to lead God with us. Right? Because if there's no fins, you are leading the Lord. And if there's no scales, who knows what's coming into your mind? Right? Who knows? Remember, you know, the influencers, right? And those, I don't even know what they call the motivational speakers. I've said this before, right? They give you a skin of truth with the meat of a lie. But we're listening to them like somehow they're going to show us how to have everything and still walk with the Lord. You see, because how you think will determine how you live. Right? So that's why we have to guard ourselves. That's why he says, hey, don't eat anything without fins and doesn't have scales. Because if it doesn't have fins, that means you're not following me. If it doesn't have scales, you're allowing everything to come into your life. Who knows what you're listening to? Guard your heart. Guard your mind. This is good stuff, isn't it? What a blessing. Verse 12, verse 13 to 19. And these you shall regard as abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They're an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind. Every raven after its kind. The ostrich, the short-eared owl. The seagull and the hawk after its kind. The little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe and the bat. What do all these animals have in common? Is they prey on other animals. Right? They hurt other living creatures. And the Word of God says, hey, if you're here today and you like to hurt people, right? Stop. You see, and we're not going around beating up people, but you know how we hurt people? We slander their name. We gossip. We backbite. We'll even do things to make sure that they fail. Right? He said, that's an abomination. Stay away from that kind of behavior. Right? What is it? Psalm. Nope, not Psalm. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, the false witness who speaks lies, and the one who sows discord among his brethren. It's the same person. Right? Do you sow discord in whatever group you're in? Do you talk a little bit over here to make sure that these people don't like these people over here? That's an abomination to the Lord. And the answer is repent. Repent. Right? And walk by faith. Don't try to justify that behavior. I've been that person. I know I could still be that person. But we need to repent when we find ourselves doing that. Right? Verse 20. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have joined legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, the grasshopper after its kind, but all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination. So the key passage is verse 21. And it says, yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have joints. So there's a joint above their feet to which to leap. So they have feet, and then the joints are right above it. The grasshopper, right? The locust, right? They could jump. And that word leap right there is means to be set free, to be loosened, to be undone. And when you read in Psalm 146, 7, it says this, who executes justice for the oppressed? Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Do you know that word leap there, what it is in Psalm 146:7? Freedom. right? Rejoice that you have been set free, right? Did you know as a child of God, you have been set free from the bondage of sin and from the fear of death? Sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. You know when sin has dominion over you? When you give it dominion. When you welcome it in. Right? The Spirit, what is it? 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know that word giving heed right there? It means to draw near. You know why people are falling away from the faith? Because they're drawing near deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They're bringing it close. Right? And this says you're free to walk with the Lord. Leap. You're free. Walk with them. Right? Verse 24. And we're going to two chapters today, so we're moving fast. We're not going to cover everything. Verse 24 says, by these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. So that word evening, for the rest of the chapter, it says nine times. And what does that represent? Until evening. You will be clean until evening. Who died at the ninth hour? Jesus. Right? And he was buried right before Sabbath started. So you know what the picture is here? When they found themselves unclean and unholy, and they knew it, they knew when the sun went down, I was going to be clean. And do you know for here, as a believer today, because of the work and the person of Jesus Christ on the cross, that when you fail, you can know that God has washed your sins. And that's why it's until evening. So when they messed up, if they messed up early in the morning, they were unclean, right? Till nighttime came. If they messed up at 5:59, they were unclean for 1 minute. They knew until evening, when evening came, that they were going to be clean. And that's a great word for us today. You need to know when you mess up, right? And you come to Christ because the blood of Jesus, you are clean. You don't have to go through rituals. You don't have to jump through loopholes, right? You are clean. And it says nine times in this chapter. When you look in James, right? James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You see? It's our flesh, right? We are hemmed in on three sides, our flesh, the enemy, and the world. In this passage, James chapter 1, he says, the reason why you go to sin is because of your desires, right? Oftentimes, we want to blame the devil, we blame the world, but we really don't want to blame ourselves and our evil desires, right? And so that's the space where they're finding themselves here in these laws. Like, man, I want to go do this, right? It says that when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Some of you are in that place where you just have the desire, where you know, like, this is wrong. And I want to, but I don't want to because I know what the Word of God has said to me. So when you find yourself in that space, know that the Lord even washes that. But if you go for it, it says you've conceived and now you give birth to sin. And if you don't repent from that, it says you will bring forth death in your life. You'll be spiritually dead. And we're not going to go through all of these. We don't have time. We're going to go down to verse 32. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean, whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is, in which any work is done, there it is, it must be put in water, and it shall be clean until evening. So it's talking about work, right? And being defiled when you're working. What does that look for us? What does that look like for us today? Right? Right? When we start working, what do we want to do? Man, how can I make some money? Right? We all think it. Right? How can I be rich? How can I not work and make millions? Right? That's what the youngsters are doing today. They're going to college. Right? I'm going to get this job. Then they read a magazine. This guy's making millions and he didn't go to school. That's what I want to do. Right? That's just the way all the youngsters are thinking these days. How can I make all kinds of money without working? I mean, if you could do it, great. But the point here is in our work. I'm going to read a few verses from, 1 Timothy 6, 8 and 10. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I'm just going to finish it. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God says that if you want to be rich and the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, how bad we want it? That's crazy, huh? Because we actually believe that we need money to serve the Lord. We actually believe that God needs us to have money so we can do great things for Him. We believe that. That's how warped our thinking is. That's how sick our thinking has become in the church. Lord, you can't do anything unless you give us some money. And the Lord's like, are you kidding me? Right? And so, you know, when we don't have the scales, right, and these things are bombarding us, we start to think, Lord, I know what your word says. I know what your word says, you know, that there's a lot of evil in love of money. Those who want to be rich, man, they're going to pretty much destroy their lives. But Lord, you can trust me. You can trust me with that money, Lord. I'll be good. Right? That's how we think. That doesn't really apply to me. That applies to irresponsible people. People who don't know how to budget, Lord. That's who they are. You know, Lord, and all I need is $5 million, just $5 million, and I can make this happen. I'll make it work for you, Lord. I promise. Right, I'll get a church. We'll help the orphans out in Mexico. We'll do all of that. And let's just say you happen to come upon that money. You know what's going to happen? You're going to think about all those promises you made to the Lord, and then you're going to think, man, if I actually do that, I'm going to be back where I started. So then it's like, Lord, let me pray about this. Let me pray about this, Lord, because you want me to be wise with this money. Lord, I'm going to be wise with it. I'm going to keep this money for now, Lord, until you show me where to put it. That's what we do. We get that money and we just hoard it. And we just keep it here. Right? And so, but we want it. And he says, stay away from that kind of thinking. Stay away from that kind of thinking. Don't be defiled in your work. Verse 33. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls, you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. Leviticus 6:28 talks about the holy sacrifice going into this earthen vessel. And when this holy sacrifice is being boiled in the earthen vessel because of the pot, the clay pot, and we're that clay pot, right? We're that clay pot. It says, when you're done with that and you pull that out, he says, you destroy that clay pot. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? And then there's a bronze pot. He says, if you do that and the holy sacrifice comes out, right? You scrub that thing. And you make sure that holy sacrifice didn't. Why? Why? Because when God abides in you and dwells in you, you are never to be used for a common purpose again. You are to be used for His purpose and His purpose only. He says, don't take that holy thing and use it for something common. You destroy that pot. This is the opposite. This is saying if something unclean goes into that pot, which is us, right? We're the pot. And what happens? It seeps into the pores. And it spreads. A little bit of leaven will spread to the whole dough. That's why he says if an unclean thing gets into that pot, he goes, once you're done with that pot, you destroy it. You destroy it. Right? Because a little bit of leaven will spread to the whole dough. We're going to go to verse 37 and 38. It says, and if a part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains cleaned. But if water is put on the seed, and if the part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. So you have the seed, just regular seed. And if something dead, an unclean animal falls on it, he says that seed is not, it's still clean. He says, but when you put seed on the water, I mean, he said, when you put water on the seed and an unclean carcass touches it, he says, now that seed is unclean. Why? Right? When you hear the word of God, right? Sometimes it doesn't get into your heart. Like in Matthew 13, sometimes it's on that hard ground. But if it gets in a little bit of soil and you water it, what happens to the seed? It begins to grow. So what he's saying there, when that seed hasn't got into your heart, you're not accountable for that. But once that seed gets into your heart and God starts to grow it, you are now held accountable for what you know. Right? So we can't act like, Lord, I didn't know. No. I gave you that seed and I watered it and it grew, and you're okay with living in such a way that is not pleasing to me. Verse 45. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy to me, for I am holy. And this is the sum of it all. This is it. Right? Do you guys remember in Romans chapter 1? Right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first, then to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Right, to the Jew first, then to the Greek, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. God is telling everybody in Romans chapter 1 how you walk in my ways, and that's through the cross. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus without the cross. He's telling everybody right there in those two verses, right, in the gospel is the righteousness of God. You will find how to walk with God, how to please God. And then what's the next verse say? I can remember it. For the wrath of God, right? What is it? Is coming upon those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So you know what's going on in the world? God has said, this is how you walk with me. But everybody is rejecting the authority of God and say, no, this is what we're going to do. We don't need God. We just got to love one another. That's what everybody's saying now. We don't need God. We just got to love one another. And can I tell you something? Because our Bible says that too, right? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor yourselves. If you're one here and thinks, man, all we got to do is just love one another. Can I tell you something? You have shut your mind off to much of Scripture. This chapter in particular. You just shut your mind off. And you believe the lie. When God says to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? We love what He loves. We love His ways, right? We love His thoughts. And then when you love your neighbor, there's a discernment with that love. Right? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve what is excellent. I think I missed that. Paul tells the Philippian church, hey, grow in love, grow in love, grow in love. But what? With knowledge and all discernment. Why? That you may approve the things that are excellent. So if we just follow the example of the world, you begin to approve things that God doesn't approve of. That's why it's important when we talk about loving our neighbors. Yes, we love our enemies. Yes, we forgive those who hurt us. We love God first. And from there, we know how to love the people here. Because if our love here isn't here, our love here will be perverted. As Paul was telling the Philippian church, he goes, if you just abound in love, but with no discernment and no knowledge, you're going to start approving of things that I don't approve of. And why am I saying this? Because we're getting to that place in this world where, like, man, when you become a Christian, my whole goal is just not to offend nobody. Right? And we think that's just it. If I just love and not offend nobody, then I'm doing good. And here this passage that says, right, yes, we love people. But there's this walk in this holiness. Right? Let me say that you can be loving and your heart could be full of greed. You can be loving and your heart could be full of idolatry. You can be loving and caring and your heart could be full of hatred. You can be loving and caring, right? And not meditating on the word, not dividing it properly. Can I ask you something? Are you walking with the Lord? Right? So let's understand, right? When we love God and love people and what that looks like, and there is so much more in Scripture, right? And again, this chapter. Chapter 12. So I'm just going to read all the verses real quick. There's only 8 verses. And then we'll just talk about it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hollow thing nor come into the sanctuary till the days of purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 60 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering and the young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it to the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves, 2 pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So let me just kind of summarize this. So when they were to have a baby, and it was a male, that first week after she had it, she was supposed to treat it like her monthly cycle. Hey, 7 days off, you're unclean. And then, after that 7 days, on the 8th day, they had to circumcise the child. And after they circumcised the child, she was out for 33 days, so a total of 40. But for a girl, after, if she had a girl, she was out 14 days. That's double for a boy. And then her total time of purification was 80 days. That's double. And look, I'm going to tell you this. I read a lot of stuff. Right? And you go everywhere with this. People are saying all kinds of stuff. Because it doesn't really tell you exactly what it is. But one thing that I landed on is that the 40 days for the male is speaking of the Old Testament, right? When their male children were circumcised, right, that was a sign that they belonged to the Lord, right? That was a sign that they belonged to the Lord. You can't circumcise a lady. But who's the bride of Christ? Us, right? So it's talking about 2 different time periods here, right? It's pointing to future events, right? And when you read Acts 1, it says that Jesus was with them 40 days before he left. And so all that to say what? Right? That in the Old Testament, they needed a sacrifice for their sins to be covered. In the New Testament, we have Christ. Right? And so, if you're anything like me, I've been that one who hasn't meditated on the Word and just divided it and used it as a weapon. I've been that one who just hears the Word, but I don't divide it. I've been that one who take it off my fence and think, I can do this on my own. Take it off my scales and allow just garbage and trash to come into my mind. I've been that one. I've been that one to hurt people like those birds that prey on other living animals. I don't want to say on purpose, but I have. Right? I've been the one that allowed that little bit of leaven to go through the whole dough. Me personally, I'm telling you that, me personally. And so what does this passage mean for us here today? If you have failed in any of those areas, you know that you will always be washed in the blood of Jesus. Always. Always. And see, there's too many people that the enemy has people trapped in their past of what they did or what they didn't do or what happened to them or what didn't happen to them or things going on today. Can I just tell you, that's not how the Lord sees you, and you are washed of those things. Right? That's what the burnt offering and the sin offering is for. It made atonement for both the male and the female. Right? The Old Testament saints were saved by faith just like we were. The New Testament saints are saved by faith just like Scripture teaches. Right? And so when you look at all this and you read all this and when you understand, right, that it's not about us. It's not about us. When you read Scripture, you're like, man, there's so much detail in here. Like, God cares about every aspect of your life. He cares how you think, what you see, what you hear, what you allow and hear, who you follow, what you do with your hands, where you walk to. He cares about those things. You see, but when we don't understand Scripture and we don't study Scripture, you know what your life is going to be like? It's going to be about you and your happiness. That's what it's going to be like. But when you understand Scripture, you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be about God. It's going to be about His promises and trusting Him at His promises. And so we have to understand. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, you compare yourselves with yourselves. You compare yourselves by yourselves. And he says, you understand nothing. He says, you look at the people around you like, man, I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as that person. Well, at least I'm not like that person. Well, that person's a little better than me, but you know, if I just made a couple adjustments, I'll be like him. He says, he's telling the Corinthian church, he says, you do that. And he says, you understand nothing. But if you look up and you study his word, man, it should cause us to fall on our faces with humility and say, Father, forgive me. Right? Because we fail all the time. We fail all the time. And the chapter that we just read, if you don't allow that to minister to you, right, and you just believe, well, if I just change my behavior, you become very self-righteous. You begin to think that you're the only Christian in this church. Like, Pastor Joe, we need to talk, right? I'm the only saved person here. Everybody else is just, that's what happens when we don't allow this word to get into us and we start comparing ourselves here, right? Instead of looking up and being like, right, Isaiah, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Forgive me, Lord. Then we can go. Right? And so I encourage you, man, study those verses that we didn't go through. There's a lot of good stuff in there that we skipped because we're out of time. Right? God cares about the details of your life. Yes, we are under grace, but we are called, right, to this holiness because He who called us is holy. We're called to something different. Called to something different. Father, we love You, Lord. We thank You for Your word, Father. We thank You, Lord, that it pierces, Father, that it divides to the soul, to the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, Father. Give us the courage, Lord, to allow it to do what it's supposed to do, Father. Give us the courage, Lord, to say yes to You and no to our flesh, Lord. Give us the courage, Father, to walk in Your ways, Lord. Not in the own dictates of our evil hearts, Father. Lord, we need You, Father. We need You, Lord. We cannot do this without You, Lord. Father, come. Come. And do Your work, Father. Have Your way in us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord. The way You minister to us today, Lord, is the same way You were ministering to the saints back in Moses' time, Father. We see it clearly, Lord, and we thank You for that, Lord. You are the God who never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord, and we love You for that. We give You all the praise and glory, Father. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.